Have your scriptures with you this morning. I encourage you to turn to the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 20. And if you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 979. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. We've been studying the armor of God the last several weeks, this idea of this armor that Christ won to secure our victory, that we're supposed to stand in that armor and in the strength of the Lord as to fight against the schemes of the evil one, to fight against the schemes of Satan himself. Last week, we looked at this idea of having our feet ready to, no matter where we go, to take the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever we go. We used an acronym to help us to prepare to be ready to share the gospel. We use the word prepare as an acronym, the P-R-E-P-A-R-E. It'll be online probably this week if you want to listen to it. But it's the idea, if you want to be ready to share the gospel, you want to pray for your heart and the heart of others. You want to rely on God for the outcome and the opportunities. You want to equip yourself to be able to share the gospel. You want to pursue others with patience. You always bring the conversation back to Jesus. Remember repentance and faith, and to enjoy the journey. That's the 7 points. It's a short 7-point sermon, but it was helpful for me as we think about how do we prepare to share the gospel with those around us. This morning is another acronym. I'm going on an acronym little stint, I guess, for some reason. You see there in your sermon notes, it used the word faith. This morning the call is to take up the shield of faith to protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one. And you'll see the F-A-I-T-H, and some 5 things to remember and hold on to is the Father's faithfulness and promises. Always stay fixed on Jesus and his accomplishments when you're in the storms of life. Impossible? Question mark. Remember, nothing's impossible with God. Our time is in his hands, and we are Holy Spirit empowered. I'm going to pray. We'll read through the text again to remember this armor that we're called to put on. And we'll walk through these 5 points this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to remember that we are in a spiritual battle. Though that Satan cannot possess us as your people who are filled with your Holy Spirit and followers of Christ, he would love to wreck our faith. He would love to slow us down. He would love to rob us of our joy. He would love to have us doubt your faithfulness and your love. So Lord, we pray you'd help us to put this armor on, remind us to put this armor on, remind us of who we are in Christ Jesus, and we stand in his strength and his armor as we strive to become more like him as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, as a good co-worker, as people in your world looking to you. So fill us with your spirit, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit and with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This ends the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to focus on this idea in verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Of the Marvel superhero series, There's the Black Panther, there's Iron Man, there's Spider-Man, but probably one of the favorites, if I were to guess, is Captain America. Captain America, he's known for many great things. I know in the movies, the women like his looks, but he's probably known for his strength, his speed. He's always striving to do the right thing. He has a sacrificial character. But probably the most thing he's known for is his shield. He has a big shield with that star on the front. It's this shield that Captain America would hold on to, that he would cling to, as he would run with confidence towards any enemy. This shield was kind of basically indestructible. It was made out of vibranium, supposedly the strongest metal known to man. And Captain America, he would just run towards whatever was coming, just holding on to that sword, and it would deflect anything the enemy would throw at him. Yeah, it might knock him down. Yeah, it might throw him 30 feet against the wall, but he'd get back up, and he'd run right back at his enemy. This morning, our text is, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And Paul is probably thinking of the Roman sword, the Roman shield at that time. It was usually big enough to cover your whole body, that as a Roman soldier, if they're shooting darts at you, you could get behind it. It would be made of wood. There'd be leather attached to it, and sometimes they would dip it in water. That way, when the darts would come, that they would light on fire with the pitch. It would stick in that shield, and the fires would go out. The soldiers would hold on to that shield to protect them. So as we begin to think about this shield of faith, I want to clarify something as we begin. Your faith is not the shield. You're called to take up the shield of faith, or the way to think about it is the shield of the faith, of what you know of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our faith sometimes is really, really strong, and sometimes it's really, really weak. And Paul says, take up the shield of faith, the object of who our God is and what he's revealed. You hold up the Christian faith. You hold up the Christian God as you live out this life. It's a shield. It's what protects us. And it's only good, the shield is only good as the object of what it is. For Captain America, he knew that shield was made out of vibranium. He knew it wasn't going to break. He just simply hung on to it. He simply got behind it and just ran forward with it. So it wasn't Captain America's faith in himself, but in the faith of the shield. So it's important to know what you have your faith in. You just can't believe in anything you want when it comes to spiritual life and spiritual reality. Not anything you believe in can rescue you or save you or give you ultimate deliverance. Think of it this way. If you're riding in an airplane and you have this little wooden chair beside you in your airplane, and you think, I'd like to jump out of this airplane. And I believe if I take this wooden chair and just hold it underneath me when I land, I think I'll be okay. That kind of faith will not save you. It's the object of your faith. That object of that chair will not do anything for you. But if you see the parachute and you understand that object and what it's made for and what it can do, and you put that on, by all means, you can jump out of the airplane. It's the same in our spiritual lives and our spiritual battle. You can't just believe in whatever you want, whatever God you want, or just whatever you want. The object of your faith matters. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, in the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And as C.S. Lewis says, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is who he claims to be, the Son of God, and he is the only way. And Jesus demonstrated that he was, as on Easter morning he burst forth through that tomb, as he resurrected from the grave, as that corpse of his body came back to life, and he burst forth. The disciples would go out into the whole Roman Empire saying, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. All to their death. What would make them go do that unless they were convinced in their minds that he actually was alive. They saw him. They knew that he could deliver. He knew that he was the way. They knew he was the resurrection of life, and no one could take their life from them. God, Christ, must be our shield. As you put your faith in this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Satan will throw some fiery darts at you. I think of Job in the Old Testament. There's this conversation between Satan and God. And Satan says to God, Job only loves you because you're good to him. That's the only reason why he loves you. And God says to Satan, go ahead. Take away all those good things, but you can't have his life. And so the whole book of Job is this unfolding of Satan just throwing darts and darts and darts at Job. He loses his job, so to speak. He loses all his wealth. His children, they all die. Job gets covered in boils and loses his health. And the question is, will Job still believe? Is God still his shield? Is God still faithful? And Job's wrestling around. And it doesn't make sense. But he holds on. He clings to his God. Yeah, he wrestles. He has his doubts. He cries out. Satan's having his way. He wants to crush him. But then God shows up. And he asks Job, Job, who created this universe? Job, look at all these amazing animals. Look what I've done. And Job kept his faith. He stands secure behind his God. God must be our shield. It can't be our faith. It must be God and his truth and his faithfulness and his righteousness and his glory. Over and over in the Old Testament, if you were to do a word search on shield, it's God. Genesis 15:1, God says, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your great reward. Psalm 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield. Psalm 115, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. This is what Paul wants us to get in our mind. The triune God has to be our shield. Take up the shield of faith. Hold on to him. Cling to him as the fiery darts of Satan fly your way. Our God is a sovereign shield. He is an almighty shield. He is a very present shield. And death itself just turned into a victory with this shield of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're called to place our faith in the triune God as our shield as Satan throws his onslaught of lies and deceptions. So we'll look at these 5 points briefly. The first one is we need to remember the Father's faithfulness and promises. You need to remember the Father's faithfulness and promises. There's the story of Joseph in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. He has this dream where he's going to kind of roll in some sense, and he sees his family kind of bowing down to him for his care and his sovereignty in one aspect. Well, the rest of his life after he has this dream that's so great and everything else, it's horrible. His brothers want him dead. They actually try to decide to kill him or not. They throw him in a pit. And after a little bit of time, they said, well, let's make some money. Let's sell him off to some foreign people. And so they actually take their brother and sell him off, and he goes to a whole other country. Joseph, while he's there, he's being accused of rape. He's thrown in prison. He's forgotten in prison for many, many years. Yet all the while, God is his shield. All the while, he's still trusted in his Lord. As Satan is throwing these fiery darts at this dream that God gave him, it says that he never forsook his God. He trusted, and in time, Joseph does rise to second in command of Egypt, and his brothers come and are seeking him for help, and they finally recognize it's Joseph. And Joseph knows He knows it's God. And his brothers are fearful because they're afraid that Joseph is going to kill him. And he says, what you guys meant for good, for evil, all those things you did to me, God meant for good. Through all those hard circumstances, things that didn't make sense, Joseph still hung and clung to his God as his shield and knew all things were going to work together for good for him. Another example is Jesus as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he goes to the cross, before he knows he's going to be forsaken, he knows he's going to be tortured, he's going to be tried unjustly, he's going to be nailed to a cross. He's sweating so profusely that it's drops of blood. And he asks his fathers, can there be another way? Can there be another way? And Jesus says, if not, let your will be done. He held on to his father as a shield. He would go through all that knowing that his father would be faithful, that the promises that the father made, that he would resurrect him and restore him and give him his right authority over all things. He said, okay, whatever, let's go through it. Ian Duguid, he says, the shield that you need to be trusting in is God's sovereignty over every detail in your life. You must know that not only does God direct the big things of your life, but also the small things. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his promises. One of the great promises of Scripture is that God is willing to send his son to the cross. How will he not give you all things for life? If he's willing to send his one and only son, his beloved son from all eternity to a cross to endure the wrath of God, if he's willing to do that, he can get you through Monday. He can get you through the doctor visit. He can get you through the when you lose your job. He'll get you all things to get you through. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about worry and anxiety. He says, look at the birds. The robins are coming back, right? In springtime. Look at the birds. How the Father cares for the birds. Look at the birds and let that remind you how the Father loves you. Don't worry. The Father knows what you need. We need to trust his faithfulness and promises. So when the devil shoots his darts at you, it makes you think that God doesn't love you. You say, no, he's for me. He sent his son for me. He's for me. I'll get through this day. I'll get through this day. The next thing we see is we need to always stay fixed on Jesus and his accomplishments when we're in the storms of life. Always fix your eyes on Jesus. In Matthew 14, there's this beautiful story. Jesus sends the disciples out into the Sea of Galilee. And those who are familiar with the story, the waves are kicking up. The wind's kicking up. The disciples become fearful. And they look out onto the sea and they see this figure walking on top of the waves. And they're fearful. They think it's a ghost. And Jesus calls out, fear not, it is I. Peter's like, what? Jesus, that's you? He's like, yeah, it's me. And Peter says, if that's you, I want to walk on top of the storm with you. And Jesus says, come on. So Peter fixes his eyes on Christ, takes a step out of the rocky boat, starts walking on waves. He's looking at Jesus, probably in disbelief, and all of a sudden he hears this wave. He hears this wave. There's more chaos coming. He gets his eyes off and he starts to sink. And Jesus in his grace just reaches down. And I picture Jesus just laughing. Oh, Peter, why did you doubt? You have little faith. And he holds him and he carries him to the boat and sets him in. Peter was good. And he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Not on all the chaos, not all the circumstances, not all the noise. But when he was fixed on Jesus, he could actually walk on top of that storm with his God. It's a call to us. Kobe Bryant, he says, when you're in the midst of a storm, don't quit. In time, the storm will pass. We're in the midst of the storms of our lives. We need to stay fixed on Jesus. ask Jesus to increase our faith, to stay focused on Him and His truth and His ways, not the chaos of our thoughts, of our emotions, of our anxieties, our fears, what people are saying. What does Jesus say about me who trusts in Him? He reaches down and holds me and brings me up and takes me into the boat. That's my Jesus. When it comes to your salvation, always rely on the finished work of Christ. Rely on the one who is the Lamb of God. Don't doubt your salvation. If you have trusted in Christ as Savior, Lord, and King, your salvation is full and complete. As Ephesians says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because of Christ. Don't let Satan rob you of that joy. Third thing is letter I, impossible. Remember, nothing's impossible with God. God at times will call us to trust in Him in difficult situations. Usually when God calls you to something, He'll not give you all the details. He won't give you the whole plan. He won't say, you're going to start at point A and point B. He'll give you some point and He'll say, just go. And He'll reveal His plan in time. You have to trust Him. You have to take Him by faith, even when the obstacles seem overwhelming. Like I think, there's no way this is going to happen. There's no way I can pay this bill. There's no way I can get through this doctor visit. He's just saying, trust me. I'll get you through. David Jeremiah, in his book, Overcomer, he talks about Hebrews chapter 11. It's this great Hall of Fame chapter of people who were followers of God and how they had faith. And these people who did not see all the details but had to be risk takers, had to be mold breakers, system shakers, just had to have faith that God would be their shield, that they would hold on to Him and follow Him. And he sums up this chapter nicely. He says, Hebrews 11, he says, of these people who followed God, it says, faith enables one to walk with God. Faith builds an ark when it's never rained before. Faith begins a journey obediently despite not knowing the final destination. Faith gives a mother strength to bear a child when she's past the age of childbearing. Faith is being willing to sacrifice your own son in obedience. Faith believes in the resurrection. Faith chooses to suffer affliction with the people of God. Faith esteems the reproach of Christ as greater than the treasures of Egypt. Faith will forsake Egypt for the promised land. Faith passes through a Red Sea on dry ground. Faith walks around Jericho until the walls fall down. Faith subdues kingdoms, works righteousness, obtains promises, stops the mouths of lions. Faith receives the dead back to life, and faith receives the promises of God. God will give you things that you can't handle. But we are to remember that nothing is impossible with God. He is to be our shield. He is to be our rock. And we take the steps of faith that He calls us to. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. You just take that step of trust in God. And as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Nothing is impossible with our God. And then the T for time. Remember that your times are in your hands. When Jesus went through the most torturous event in His life, after being crucified, He cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's quoting from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Jesus, in the midst of the most horrific event of human history, when He was utterly forsaken by God's gracious presence and undergoing the wrath of God, when that was all done, He knew that His God was still there. He knew that the plan was accomplished, and He could say, into your hands I commit my spirit, O faithful God. My times are in your hands. That same psalm talks about the crucifixion. It says, blessed be the Lord. His one will show steadfast love to me. He has been faithful. He's been constant. It's never changed. When I said in my alarm, I'm cut off, you heard my voice when I cried for help. And then the psalm ends with this great declaration: love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong, let your heart take courage, all you wait for the Lord. So imagine, Jesus is on the cross. He goes through that crucifixion. It's 3 hours of darkness. And when it ends, he cries out, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. You can imagine the Jewish people around him hearing that and them knowing this psalm and just saying, "Oh my, it is true." That even through the worst things that God might take me through, he is faithful to deliver and save. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, 3 times I asked the Lord that this thorn in the flesh should leave me. I asked 3 times. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. This is when you know our times are in God's hands, that he is our shield, that he knows what he's doing, he knows what is best, and he will be faithful. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Then lastly, the Holy Spirit. You are Holy Spirit empowered. You who have trusted Christ, you who have surrendered to his lordship, you who have acknowledged that I'm tired of playing God with my own life. I'm tired of trying to figure out things on my own. I'm tired of being my own God. I'm tired of rebelling. That you lay that down. And you receive the mercies of Christ who would go to a cross to atone for your sins. You are empowered. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You are new creations in Christ. And you are not alone. As Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Even though you don't see me, there's something greater coming. It's better that I go away because the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. He empowers you. You are not orphans. You are not alone. The power of the Almighty God is with you. That same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. That's why we can walk by faith and not by sight. The call is to be like Captain America. We trust and hold on to our shield. And that's the triune God. He's the object of our faith. He's faithful. And his promises will come to pass. He says, always keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. When the waves are crashing around, no, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. And your times, he's got them. Your times are in his hands, and you're not alone. The Holy Spirit's with you. He says, hold on to me. Take up the shield of faith. And when Satan's attacking, trying to convince you that God doesn't love you, that he's not good, that he can't save you, you hold on to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has blessed you with every blessing that can be yours in Christ Jesus. You stay united to Christ. You throw up that shield. You listen to what your Father says, who loves you. The call is to take up the shield of faith. Place your faith in the triune God to protect you from the fiery darts of the evil one. Do that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe. But when we see the waves of life, we take our eyes off of you. And just as Satan wanted to sift Peter and his faith, Jesus, we thank you that you hold on to us, that you reach down and pull us up, that you pray for us, Jesus, and you'll keep us all the way. Holy Spirit, help us to remember the Father's faithfulness. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Help us to remember that nothing is impossible with you. Help us to remember our times are in your hands, and that's good news. And know that you are with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.